Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. We're still looking at this 70 weeks prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9. We've made it partway through verse 25. We'll make it most of the rest of the way through verse 25, not quite all the way through, Lord willing, today. Finish that up next week, Lord willing. In Daniel 9:25, here we are given the starting point of the 70 weeks prophecy. When the timetable of the 70 weeks would begin, and that would be at the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Daniel 9:25, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." So there would be a commandment that would be given, would be by a Persian king, and this commandment would be to rebuild Jerusalem. And when that commandment was given, it would be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 69 weeks. So it would be 69 weeks of years from the time that commandment was given until Messiah the Prince came. 69 weeks of years is 483 years, 69 times 7. So it would be 483 years from the time that the commandment was issued by that king to go and rebuild Jerusalem, which had been destroyed 70 years prior to that by the Babylonians. From that moment when that commandment was given, 483 years will bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we've been looking at over the last 2 weeks is which commandment this was and who gave that commandment, because it's important to understand who gave the commandment so we can know when the timetable starts to get us to Jesus Christ. As I talked about last time, there are four options out there probably, but there are really two that are widely held, and that is the commandment of Artaxerxes Longinus, which was the king in Nehemiah chapter 2, which gave Nehemiah license to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And then there was the decree of Cyrus the Great, which was the king of Persia. He began to reign right as the 70-year captivity was ending. So those were the two, and we looked at last week why I do not believe that the decree of Artaxerxes Longinus in Nehemiah 2 is the commandment referred to here in Daniel 9 and verse 25. We talked about how that belief is based on the chronology of a guy named Ptolemy, which was an Egyptian chronologer who wrote 600 years after the events in the Persian Empire happened, and it is not corroborated with any primary documents. So that is the chronology that people that use Artaxerxes Longinus' decree in Nehemiah 2, they base it on that chronology, and then that makes it fit to go from that point until Christ 483 years later. What I'm going to talk about today is how I believe that it was the decree of King Cyrus the Great. And if we go with a biblical chronology, it all works out perfectly. Now, both of us that believe in the decree of Cyrus or the decree of Artaxerxes Longinus in Nehemiah 2, we both would say that the decrees happened in the same year. So we both say that they happened 483 years prior to Christ coming, right? It's just we differ on the chronologies. And so obviously that's, you know, there's going to be some differences there has to be differences in the chronology, but these two decrees do not make it a difference of when Christ came or not, right? They both end up with Christ coming. It's just a difference of chronology. But I think it's also more important than that too. I think it's important to know which decree was being referenced here and to get that right, because it's important to know what the truth is, I believe, and that's why I'm spending some time on this. Now, you're going to have to pay close attention in this sermon. Last Sunday was kind of one like that too, and this Sunday is going to be one just as much. I've been teaching you in Proverbs chapter 4 now, to attend unto my words, God says. Solomon says that to his son. And we talked about the importance of attending, and which means to bend your ear, to incline, to pay attention. Well, this is extremely important for this sermon. You're going to really need to focus and pay attention. So get rid of all the distractions, get rid of anything else that you're thinking about, and focus and pay attention. Because otherwise you're going to get lost. I'm going to try to make it as plain as I can. I'm going to go nice and slow. I might even stop from time to time and get nods or shakes to see if you understand. And if you don't understand, that's fine. And I'll go back and I will say it again a different way because I want to make sure you get it. Now, you may think, who cares? You know, it's not a big deal. Whether it was Artaxerxes or whether it was Cyrus, who cares? Well, I care. So I guess that's important enough to do a sermon on it then, right? So that's what we want to look at. So at the end of the captivity, Cyrus was the king of Persia. Remember, we talked about a brief history last time of how Israel or Judah was taken over by the Babylonians and Jerusalem was destroyed. And that destruction lasted for 70 years. And the Jews were carried captive into Babylon and they spent 70 years living in Babylon. Daniel was one of those captives. So was Nehemiah. After that 70 years, the Lord had prophesied through the prophet Jeremiah that Israel would be restored to the land. And the 70 weeks prophecy begins that restoration. This is what the 70 weeks prophecy is referring to whenever Jerusalem would be restored and built, was the building of that city after it had been destroyed by the Babylonians and had lain in waste for 70 years. So in the first year of his reign, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation that the Jews were to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Let's look at that in the book of Ezra, Ezra 1, 1 through 4. So this was the first thing that Cyrus did, or one of the first things that Cyrus did whenever he took the throne, was to fulfill a prophecy that was over 200 years old that God himself called out Cyrus by name and said Cyrus would do this very thing 200 and some years before he did it. Isaiah prophesied of that, and we'll take a look at that here in just a minute. So here is the proclamation. Now remember, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem was captive. The Jews were captive for 70 years. During that 70 years, there was a change in the kingdom of Babylon. The Babylonians were taken over by the Medes and the Persians. They left the gate open the one night. They all got drunk, and the Persians diverted the river that ran through the city of Babylon, and then the gate was left open, and they marched right through that riverbed right into the city and took it while those drunken fools were partying. And God prophesied that that would happen as well. He said he would loose the loins of kings and so on. And that's exactly what happened. So what we're reading here is the decree of Cyrus, and Cyrus was one of those Persian rulers who had taken over after they had destroyed the Babylonians. Okay, so Cyrus was the new ruler of the Babylonian Empire, which was now the Medo-Persian Empire. Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So this was the decree that got the whole thing started. He makes the decree that they go back and build the house of the Lord, and those that couldn't go and actually do the work themselves were to send money to help them that do. You see a picture of the New Testament and the Levitical ministry and the New Testament ministry, right? Some do the work, and then the others support them that do the work monetarily. And that's what Cyrus said should be done here. This decree, commandment, was also given in the end of 2 Chronicles. If you just look up probably just a couple of inches there from Ezra, you'll see it there in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. I'm not going to read it because it virtually says the same thing. It doesn't give quite as much detail, but it says something very similar. So Cyrus's decree is the most obvious. Okay, if we were looking through the Bible and looking for a decree of when Jerusalem would be restored and built, right here it is. first year of Cyrus. This happened directly after the Babylonian captivity. This would be the most obvious decree to look for. If you look in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21, it says there, "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. This is referring to the Babylonian captivity when Jerusalem was destroyed for 70 years, 70 years. And it lay there and nothing was done with it, and it rested. The land rested. And then the next thing we read is in verse 22, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, he issues this proclamation." So it was right on the heels of the Babylonian captivity being fulfilled after that 70 years. Now, opponents of the decree of Cyrus claim that Cyrus only decreed that the house of God would be built in Jerusalem, not the city or the wall or the street, as Daniel 9:25 prophesied. Let's go back and look at Daniel 9:25 again, and I want to make sure you understand what I just said. Because the people that believe in the decree of Artaxerxes Longinus in Nehemiah chapter 2, one of the reasons they do that is because they say that the prophecy in Daniel 9:25 said that there would be a commandment that Jerusalem would be built and restored, okay? And also the wall and the street. It says there in Daniel 9:25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." So it mentions the rebuilding of Jerusalem, of the wall, and of the street. It doesn't even mention the temple, as a matter of fact. So what they say is that the decree of Cyrus that we just read in Ezra chapter 1 only gave them license to go rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. It did not give them license or commandment to rebuild the city or the wall or the streets or anything else. Only the temple. So it really didn't match what Daniel said there in Daniel 9:25, that the commandment would be to rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so that's why they say it couldn't be Cyrus's commandment, because Cyrus never said to rebuild Jerusalem. Cyrus just said to rebuild the temple. Okay, that's the argument. Everybody get the argument? That makes sense? Okay, all right. Now I'm going to show you why that argument is fallacious. Now, though it is not recorded that Cyrus's proclamation included rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, it can be concluded by reasoning from the scriptures. So I'm going to reason with you, and it's not even really going to be very much reasoning. Now, honestly, I'm going to show you from the scripture that his proclamation did include to rebuild Jerusalem, though it was not recorded. Okay, and I will prove this. So it was prophesied that Cyrus would command that Jerusalem would be built. Look at Isaiah 44 and verse 28. Isaiah 44, 28. This verse pretty much just destroys the whole argument about Artaxerxes' Longinus decree. This one verse pretty much just cuts the legs right out from under it. Isaiah 44 and verse 28. This is so interesting because, like I said, this prophecy was made a couple of hundred years before Cyrus was ever a twinkle in his dad's eye. Isaiah 44 and verse 28 says, "Thus saith Cyrus, that saith," not "thus saith," let me get that right, "that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd." This is the Lord speaking about Cyrus, who wasn't even born yet. "That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid." Now, in the decree in Ezra chapter 1, he just mentions the temple. But what did God say that Cyrus would say? Right? God said that Cyrus would say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. Now, this is a really simple but extremely profound point. If God said that Cyrus would say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, then Cyrus said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. Right? That's pretty simple. Let me say it again. If God said that Cyrus would say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, then Cyrus said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. Or else God was wrong. And Cyrus just forgot to say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and therefore it wasn't his decree, it was some other one. No, if God said he would say it, he said it. right? It's not like God just hopes whenever he says something. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. God again prophesied of Cyrus in verse 45 and verse 1. I'll just show you that that chapter 45 here is referring to Cyrus. He says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus." Cyrus is actually a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered the people from their bondage back to Jerusalem, to the promised land again, right? Christ came and delivered his people from their bondage back to the promised land. Christ was God's anointed. Cyrus here is said to be God's anointed. It's very interesting. "Thus saith the Lord to Cyrus, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." That's the prophecy I was referring to when they left the gates open, when he loosed the loins of kings. You remember what happened when Daniel prophesied whenever Belteshazzar, I think was his name, that they were drinking with the holy cups and the holy instruments from the temple. See, Nebuchadnezzar had stolen all the golden vessels from the temple and brought them to Babylon, and then his successor was having a drunken party, drinking and getting drunk out of those golden instruments, and they saw a hand writing on the wall, and they brought in Daniel to interpret it, and it said, "Meeny, meeny, 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 tekel, upharsin," which being interpreted is, "Thy kingdom shall be taken and given to the Medes and the Persians. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, and thy kingdom shall be given to the Medes and the Persians," basically, is what that said. Well, whenever that king saw the handwriting on the wall, it says that his loins did shake. Isaiah 45:1, a couple hundred years prior to this happening, said that God would loose the loins of kings and that they would leave the gates open and they wouldn't be shut. And sure enough, that very night when he saw the handwriting on the wall and his loins did shake, when he heard that the kingdom would be given to the Medes and the Persians, they marched right in pretty much as he was hearing of this information and took the kingdom that night. Absolutely fascinating. So the Lord here in Isaiah 45 is prophesying of Cyrus. And he says there in verse 13, Isaiah 45:13, he says, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts." Nobody paid Cyrus to do that. As a matter of fact, Cyrus helped them out and gave them things that they needed to go back and rebuild. So here, God says Cyrus will build his city, right? That's what the prophecy in Daniel 9 said, to restore and to build Jerusalem. He shall build my city, that's building Jerusalem. He shall let go my captives, that's restoring Jerusalem, restoring the people back to Jerusalem. Now, if the Lord said Cyrus would do it, then Cyrus did it. If God says Cyrus will build my city, then guess what? Cyrus was responsible for the building of the city. Cyrus gave the commandment to rebuild the city. Just look at Isaiah 46, just over a page. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. If God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." This is what distinguishes God from all the other false gods out there. God can declare the end from the beginning because he's eternal. He can see it all. He knows it all. And God also declares things that are not yet done, saying that his counsel will stand, that he will do all his pleasure. So when he declared the thing that was not yet done, and he said that Cyrus will say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and that Cyrus shall build my city, guess what? It was done. Cyrus did it, even if it was not recorded in Ezra chapter 1. Now I'm going to show you that not everything in Cyrus's decree was recorded in Ezra chapter 1. I'll prove that to you. There's a lot of cases like that in the Bible. John said that if everything that Jesus would have done would have been recorded in the scriptures, right? All the books in the world couldn't contain it. And you'll notice that lots of times when you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and you look at parallel accounts, one account doesn't give all the information. That doesn't mean that that account is inaccurate. It just means that it's incomplete. And there's nothing wrong with that. God didn't have to say everything in every single passage. He says things here a little and there a little, and you put it all together. That's what we're doing here. We read Cyrus's decree, or part of it, and I'm putting it all together for you. I'm showing you what else Cyrus said, even though it wasn't recorded, and I can be sure of that because God said that he would say it. Now, the decree of Cyrus that is recorded in Ezra 1:1-4, and 2 Chronicles 36:22-23, it was not the entire decree of Cyrus that he made, because the decree, or at least part of it, was found and read in Ezra 6:1-5, and that included a lot more information that was given in Ezra chapter 1. Let me just go to Ezra 6:1-5. I'm going to show you here. We'll get to this later in the study, but what happened was the Jews were their building program was stopped for a while, and they started building, and they were questioned about this, so they wrote back to the king after a previous king had stopped them from building. They wrote back to the next king that succeeded him, and they said, hey, look back in the records and find the record of Cyrus's decree, and you'll see that we have license to do this. And this is what's happening here in Ezra chapter 6. We'll get to this later. But in Ezra 6:1-5, they find this decree of Cyrus in the records. And we're going to read it here. And we're going to notice that there's a lot more information here in the decree as it's read from the records than was given in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 6:1-5. It says, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Achmetha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written, and here we go, here's the decree of Cyrus, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifice, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. That wasn't said in the original decree. The height thereof, 60 cubits, the breadth thereof, 60 cubits. None of that was mentioned in the original decree, there in Ezra chapter 1, with the height and the breadth, that wasn't mentioned. With 3 rows of great stones, that wasn't mentioned, and a row of new timber, that wasn't mentioned, and let the expense be given out of the king's house. I don't believe that was mentioned either. And also, let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, be brought unto Babylon, and be restored, and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to his own place, and place them in the house of God. That wasn't mentioned in the original decree either. You see that the decree in Ezra chapter 1 was incomplete. It just gave the bare bones minimum, that the most important thing, go build the temple. It was incomplete. Nothing wrong with that. Just more information is given in this passage. Now, think about this. Since Ezra didn't record the entire decree in Ezra chapter 1, there is no proof that he included the entire decree in Ezra chapter 6:3-5 either, right? If he gave the decree in chapter 1 and didn't give the whole thing, then therefore we know that he can give part of a decree. Well, in chapter 6 then, we don't have any proof that even though chapter 6 was expanded, we don't know that that was the whole decree either. We don't know what else he might have said. Actually, I do know one other thing he might have said. Build Jerusalem. You know how I know he said that? Because God said that he would say that. That's how I know that he said it. So therefore, since the entire decree was not recorded in Ezra chapter 1, it is logical to conclude that Cyrus's decree included a commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, just as God said that it would in Isaiah 44:28. He said, Cyrus would say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. And I conclude, with no contradiction here, that that was part of the original decree, though it was not written down in Ezra chapter 1. Because if you think about it, if you're going to go back and build the temple, which was the whole focus of the city of Jerusalem, wouldn't that mean that you're going to be rebuilding Jerusalem as well? If you're going to be rebuilding the main focus of it, aren't you going to rebuild the rest? Why would it make sense for them to go back and build a temple and not build a city and not have any inhabitants around the temple? That wouldn't make any sense anyway, and that's going to be the next point. So furthermore, in order for the Jews to return and build the temple in Jerusalem, like Cyrus said there in Ezra 1:3, they would have to dwell in Jerusalem, which means that Jerusalem would have to be built. Where were they going to live while they were building this temple for years and even decades? Remember, it took 49 years to complete the temple. The 7 weeks, 49 years, that was to complete the temple in Daniel's prophecy. Where were they going to be living? I suppose you could say they lived in tents, but I can show you that they didn't live in tents. They built houses when they returned to Jerusalem before they built the temple. Look at Haggai 1 and verse 4. Haggai was one of the prophets that the Lord commissioned to go and use a goad and start poking and prodding Israel to get them moving, because they had gone back and they had built their houses first, which kind of makes sense. You got to have a place to live before you can build a temple. But the thing is, they didn't stop at just getting themselves a domicile. They made it really nice, and they wainscoted the inside of it. I'm not even kidding. They made it very, very nice. They were spending a lot of time working on their own houses and not much time working on God's house. It lay in waste. Haggai 1 and verse 4. Haggai is before Zechariah, which is before Malachi. So just go back. If you just find the New Testament, just go back into the end of the Old Testament, back three books, and you'll find Haggai. Haggai 1 and verse 4, here's what Haggai had to say to the Jews. He says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste?" This house is the Lord's house he's referring to. They're dwelling in sealed houses. You know what sealed means? That's C-I-E-L-E-D. Sealed means having the interior, roof or walls, overlaid or lined with wood, wainscoted. So they had nice wood paneling on the inside of these houses. These were not shacks. They had really spent a lot of time on them. And Haggai is chastising them for it. You guys are spending all your time and money on your house, and God's house is lying there destroyed. Now, they also built the wall in Jerusalem when they returned to Jerusalem to build it at Cyrus's commandment. Remember, Daniel 9:25 says the wall shall be built in the street, even in troublous times. Well, they did build the wall whenever they went back at Cyrus's commandment. Look at Ezra 4 and verse 12. I showed you this last time, but I will refresh your memory again. Ezra 4 and verse 12. This is whenever the enemies of the Jews were complaining that they were building Jerusalem and they had built the wall. They were sending a letter back to the king of Persia to try to get this to be stopped. We'll talk about this here in a minute as well. Ezra 4 and verse 12 says, "Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations." So they built the city and they set up the wall, just like Daniel said would happen. And naturally, if Cyrus said to Jerusalem, "Thou shalt be built," well, part of Jerusalem is the wall, right? When you had a major city in those days, major cities had walls. The original city of Jerusalem had a wall. The rebuilt city would have a wall. So when Cyrus said, "Build that city," that means build that wall. You see? Ezra 9 and verse 9 likewise said that they had a wall, that God had given them a wall. It says, "For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." So yeah, they built the city and the wall. Now the wall was part of the city that Cyrus commanded, like I said. And it would be necessary to build the wall to protect the city while they rebuilt the temple. Because in those days, that was your protection. A big wall that the enemy would have a really hard time getting through. In those days, whenever an enemy would besiege a city, a lot of times because of that wall and the fortifications, they might besiege it for months or even years until they starve them out in there and they can't get anything in or out. Those walls were a big deal. That was what was necessary for their defense. And they had many enemies. Daniel 9:25 prophesied that it would happen in troublous times. And we read about those troubles in the book of Ezra, later on in Nehemiah, likewise, before they had it all complete. They had a lot of trouble. A lot of people were trying to stop that building program. Now, it said there in Daniel 9:25 that the wall and the street would be built. I'm going to show you that they built the street as well. Look at Ezra 10 and verse 9. Ezra 10 and verse 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and for the great rain. So they had a street. So there you go. We have a verbatim fulfillment of what happened, of what was said would happen in Daniel 9:25. They built it all. They did everything that was said. Now, they would build the street and the wall in troublous times. And as we've already seen, this happened after Cyrus made his decree in the days of Ezra when the Jews rebuilt the temple and the city. I will show you one more verbatim fulfillment. They would rebuild in troublous times. Look at Ezra 4 and verse 4. I'll show you that whenever they were rebuilding, at the commandment of Cyrus, they did so in troublous times. Ezra 4 and verse 4, it says, Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. They gave them legal trouble to try to stop the building program, and you can read about that in verses 5 through 24 of this chapter. I'm not going to read that here in the interest of time, but they wrote to the king of Persia and tried to get it to be stopped. So Cyrus's decree and the subsequent rebuilding fulfills everything written in Daniel 9:25 perfectly. They would build Jerusalem, they would restore Jerusalem, they'd build the wall, they'd build the street, and it happened in troublous times, and every bit of that is fulfilled to the letter here in the book of Ezra under the commandment of King Cyrus. But I'm not done yet, because there are other arguments that the people of that hold to the decree of Artaxerxes Longinus make. This one maybe it'll get a little tricky, but I hope to explain it and make it plain. So proponents of the decree of Artaxerxes Longinus, that was in Nehemiah chapter 2, that was many, many years later, they argue that the enemies of the Jews accused them, that is the Jews, of trying to rebuild the city, which caused the suspension of the building of the temple for a period of time. We read about that in Ezra 4, 11 through 24. And then they say that had the Jews only been building the temple, there would have been no authority to stop it, since the decrees of the Medo-Persian kings could not be altered. Let me just show you that a decree of a Persian king cannot be altered. Look at the book of Esther. That's after Nehemiah. So just turn to the right couple of books. Go to the book of Esther. And I'm going to explain this again. I'm just kind of giving you all the details, and then I'm going to explain it again, make sure you understand what the argument is. Esther 8 and verse 8. It says, Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Okay, so whenever a Persian king made a decree in writing, could not be reversed. So he better make sure he knew what he was doing, because you're going to have to stick with that decree for however long the decree is, and if the decree says forever, well, guess what? You're in trouble. So you better make sure you know what you're doing. The Persian kings had to make sure they didn't know what they were doing. Look also in Daniel 6 and verse 8. I'll give you another example of this. It says, Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So when it's signed, it's done. Unlike the U.S. Constitution, when it was signed, then people just do whatever the heck they want and they don't worry about what it says. But in those days, it wasn't like that. There was no amendment process to the king's commandment. That's why, for instance, even when the king made a mistake and threw Daniel in the lion's den, he couldn't go back on it, but he just told Daniel, you pray and just trust that those lions aren't going to eat you, and the lions didn't. And once he had given the commandment and Daniel was thrown in the den and he wasn't eaten, well, then he could give another commandment, and that was throw the guys in there that set up Daniel. So let me go over this again then. What the proponents of the Artaxerxes Longinimus decree, what they say, is that whenever the enemies of the Jews in Ezra chapter 4 wrote back to the king of Persia and complained that these Jews are building the city, right? And this is a rebellious and a bad city. Just look back in the records, king. This is a bad city. They're trying to build this city again, and they shouldn't be doing this. And the king goes and he checks it out. We'll look at this here in a second. The king goes back and he looks at the records, and sure enough, Jerusalem was a rebellious city, and he says, all right, stop that building program. What these guys are saying is that if indeed Cyrus had given a commandment to rebuild the city, that king couldn't have said, well, just stop building. Because the law of the Medes and the Persians altereth not. So if Cyrus said, build the city, no other king could say, no, stop building the city. That's the argument that they're making. So therefore, because the king said to stop the building program, that means that Cyrus never gave the commandment to start the building program in the first place, else that new king couldn't have undone Cyrus's commandment. Does everybody understand that? Nod your head if you understand. Shake your head if you don't. Okay? Okay, I think everybody understands. Okay, it's okay to shake your head if you don't get it. I'll say it again a different way. I don't mind at all, because I want to make sure you understand. So this argument is flawed for the following reasons. I'm going to give you a few. First of all, notice that the enemies of the Jews, quote, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Let's look at Ezra 4, 4 through 5. Ezra 4, 4 through 5 says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So for a long time. You had during that time, you had Cyrus reigning, and then a guy named Ahasuerus reigned after him. And it looks like Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes were the same king under a different name, and I'll talk about that here in just a second. And then after that, you had Darius. So you had at least three, possibly four, but I'm pretty sure it was three kings, because Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes are the same king. And by the way, Artaxerxes here in Ezra chapter 4 is not the same Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2. Don't blame me. It's those guys that gave the same name to kings many times. It's kind of like somebody would be looking back many years and saying, now George Bush that reigned after Ronald Reagan, before Bill Clinton, that was not the same George Bush that reigned after Bill Clinton. You'd be like, well, wait a minute, they're both called George Bush. Well, yeah, they went by the same name, but they weren't the same guy, right? They may as well have been, pretty similar policies, but they weren't the same guy, right? Or if Clinton would have got elected in 2016, somebody would say, you know, King Clinton in 2016 was not the same as King Clinton in 1994, right? Different, you know, same name, different king, right? That's what happened here. The name of the king was Artaxerxes. And I think, if I understand right, Artaxerxes was like the term of nobility, kind of like Pharaoh. You read about Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh was just a title. Pharaoh wasn't the guy's actual name. Same with Herod. Herod was a title. It wasn't he was a dynasty anyway. It may be a name, but they all went by the name Herod, even though there were several different Herods. So Artaxerxes was one such thing. But anyway, that was a bit of a side note. What I want you to notice is, and I'm going to emphasize it again, they hired counselors in verse 5 against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So all the days of Cyrus, they were giving these guys trouble, trying to get the building program to stop all the time while Cyrus was reigning. Now that's really interesting. However, they did not write a letter to Babylon trying to get the building of the city stopped until the beginning of the reign of Ahasuerus in Ezra 4:6, after Cyrus was dead. Now that's really strange. They tried to stop the building program all the days of Cyrus, but never bothered to write a letter to Cyrus to say, hey, these Jews are building this city and they shouldn't be. never wrote a letter to Cyrus until after Cyrus is dead and he's succeeded by Ahasuerus. Then they write a letter to try to get the building program stopped. Now that's really strange, isn't it? Verse 6, Ezra 4 and verse 6. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the beginning of his reign, they waste no time. As soon as Cyrus is gone and a new king comes in, then they write the letter. They had been harping about it for a long time, all the time that Cyrus was there, but not harping to Cyrus about it, harping to other people about it. But when Cyrus is gone, then they write the letter. Just think about that. Now, like I said, it appears that Ahasuerus was another name for Artaxerxes, to whom they wrote the letter. We read there in verse 7 and then verse 11. It says, and in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam and Mithridath and Tabeel and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. And then in verse 11, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. And then they were complaining to him about these Jews rebuilding the city. So it looks like Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes are the same guy, right? I don't think that they, it doesn't sound like they wrote two different letters, and if they did write to Ahasuerus, it doesn't say anything about the letter, and then it goes on and talks about Artaxerxes, so I'm assuming that it's the same guy, same letter. But regardless, they waited until Cyrus was dead, or at least Cyrus wasn't in office anymore. And like I said, just to make sure you understand, Artaxerxes here in Ezra 4:7 is not the same Artaxerxes in Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah 2 is many, many decades later. Okay. If Cyrus's decree only gave them permission to build the temple and not to build the city, then why didn't they write the letter to Cyrus complaining that the Jews were rebuilding the city? If it is true what the opponents say, that Cyrus only said to rebuild the temple but did not give them permission to build the city, why wouldn't they just write to Cyrus and say, hey, King Cyrus, you gave them a decree to build the temple and these guys are building the city. You never said build the city. You never said build the wall. Look, they're building the wall. They're building the city. They're building the streets. And all you said was the temple. Why didn't they write Cyrus a letter? After all, they complained all the days of Cyrus, but never wrote him a letter. Think about it. Now, if they didn't write the letter to Cyrus, they didn't write the letter to Cyrus because he was the one who made the decree for them to build Jerusalem. Remember what God said, Isaiah 44:28, and Cyrus would say to the city, to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. That's why they didn't complain to Cyrus. That'd be a pretty stupid thing to do. Write to King Cyrus and say, hey, King Cyrus, they're building the city. And King Cyrus would write back and say, yeah, knuckleheads, I told them to. What's wrong with that? They wouldn't dare. It would have been off with their heads if they would have written to Cyrus and said, hey, these guys are building the city. And he says, you know what? Come up here. I want to talk to you. Come up to Babylon. I got a little something. I got a little beef with you. Thus they waited until Cyrus was no longer king to write to King Ahasuerus, or Artaxerxes, to complain about the Jews rebuilding Jerusalem. That's the first problem, and a big one, with this idea. But here's a second one. Secondly, the enemies of the Jews did not give as a reason that the decree of Cyrus only included a decree to rebuild the temple and not the city. So whenever they wrote this letter to King Ahasuerus / King Artaxerxes, they did not say, hey, King, look at the decree of Cyrus. Check back at the decree of Cyrus. Because Cyrus told them, King, he told them only rebuild the temple, but they're rebuilding the city. And just look back at what Cyrus said, and you're going to see that he didn't say anything about that city, and therefore you need to stop the building of this city because Cyrus never said anything about the city. When they wrote back to King Ahasuerus, they never mentioned the decree of Cyrus at all. And I'll show you. Their argument was that the former city of Jerusalem was a rebellious city and that it was allowed to be rebuilt, or that if it was allowed to be rebuilt, it would be harmful to the king because they would not pay tribute. Taxes, in other words. So if you want to get the king to get interested in something, just tell him, hey, your tax base is going to be diminished. Oh, stop that right now. Ezra 4:11-16. Here's the letter. Notice what is conspicuously absent, anything about the decree of Cyrus. It says, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants, the men on this side the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded, and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, or and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. It's going to hit you in the pocketbook, O king. That's what they're saying. They're not going to pay their taxes. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, see, this is what you call lobbyists. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, of course, they only have his best interest in mind, don't you know? Therefore, have we sent and certified the king. Yes. We're only concerned about you and the kingdom, O king. And, you know, we do actually have maintenance from the king. We are getting a little kickback here, so we don't, of course, don't want that to stop. Verse 15. So here's what they want the king to do. That search may be made in the house of the records of thy fathers, so that thou shalt find the book of the records. Notice they don't say anything about the commandment of Cyrus, do they? And know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again and the walls set up thereof, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river. So what do they ask him to do? Look in the records and find out that this was a bad and rebellious city, that they have sedition in this city, and therefore you need to stop the building program. They never mention the decree of Cyrus. They never say, just check out Cyrus's decree. He only told them the temple. They're saying it's the city. Just look at Cyrus's decree to get this thing settled. They never mentioned Cyrus's decree, and for good reason. They wanted the king, Artaxerxes, to search through the records to find that the former city was a rebellious city there in verse 15. They did not want him to search through the records to find Cyrus' decree and see that it was only made that it only made mention of rebuilding the temple and not the city, which thing is not true, and I've already showed you that. Now the king had the records searched and found that Jerusalem had indeed been a rebellious city, and therefore he ordered that the rebuilding of the city stop. Verses 17 through 21. Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search hath been made, and it was found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. So he looks, he finds in the records, sure enough, this was it was a rebellious city. And furthermore, there were times when the kings of Judah had control of the lands out there near Babylon, and they were getting tribute from all those surrounding lands instead of the Babylonian Empire getting tribute from them, and we can't have that. We've got to put an end to that. So he halts the building of the city because of that, not because of the commandment of Cyrus, because he didn't know anything about the commandment of Cyrus. So the result of the king's commandment was to stop rebuilding the city, and then that resulted in the rebuilding of the temple to be stopped. So notice, he didn't even say anything about the temple. He just said the city, but the rebuilding of the temple stopped. And we're going to see that the temple and the city are basically together. When you're rebuilding the temple, you're rebuilding the city, and vice versa. Verses 23 through 24. It says, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they got what they wanted there temporarily for a while. Now notice that the king made no mention of the decree of Cyrus, because search was not made for it, and he apparently knew nothing about it. I'm guessing that this king didn't know anything about the decree of Cyrus. I don't know how many years had transpired there, but apparently he didn't know. Which, you know, why would he? You didn't have YouTube and social media back then where you can go back and look and hear about what happened, and I'm sure that king had plenty of other things on his plate to deal with, and he didn't even know about the decree of Cyrus, apparently. Because he certainly wouldn't have stopped the rebuilding of the temple if he did know anything about Cyrus's decree, right? Think about it. The building of the temple was stopped. If he knew anything about Cyrus's decree, and Cyrus's decree only said about the temple, he would have at least said, hey, you tell him to stop building the city, but keep building that temple because Cyrus said to. He didn't say anything because he didn't know anything about Cyrus's decree. Well, then later, the Jews began to work on the temple again, and when they were questioned about it, they sent a letter to King Darius, who succeeded Artaxerxes. They sent a letter to King Darius and asked him to make a search for the decree of Cyrus. Now, this is interesting. Ezra 5 and verse 17. So whenever they start rebuilding and they're given trouble again from their enemies, then they go to Darius. Because I don't know if they waited to go to Darius because they knew Artaxerxes was already against them. So they waited for Darius. And they didn't say, you know, make some other argument. They just went right back and said, King Darius, look for the decree of Cyrus. And you're going to see that we have license to be building this temple. And I say this city as well. Ezra 5 and verse 17 says, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let search be made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. So they are going to hang their whole argument on the decree of Cyrus. The enemies didn't mention the decree of Cyrus because they knew that the decree of Cyrus was what gave the Jews license to rebuild that city. So they tell the king, hey, you look for that decree of Cyrus. And the king searches the records and he finds the decree of Cyrus and he gives them permission to resume rebuilding the temple. And we've already read this passage here in Ezra 6, 1 through 5, remember, he found the decree of Cyrus, and he reads it, and Cyrus says about the temple being built, and gives the size of it, and the rows of great stones, and the new timber, and the expenses from the king's house being sent to help them out, and all these things. Let's just keep reading there a little bit. Let's just go down, and just in maybe in verse 11, 6:11, also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. So he tells them, you go and start building that temple again, that house of God, after he saw the decree of Cyrus. Now it's obvious that the reason that King Artaxerxes, the previous king, it's obvious that the reason that he commanded that the rebuilding of the city cease in Ezra 4 was because he knew nothing about the decree of Cyrus who authorized it. And like I said, it's just said here that they go back and rebuild the temple. But remember, what was the full decree of Cyrus? Saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. He gave them license. You go back and build that temple. And they went back and started building the temple, and I presume rebuilding the city as well. Now I'm going to cover one more thing here today, and then we will wrap it up, and then we will finish with verse 25 next week, Lord willing. So in Daniel 9 and verse 25, it was said there, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince would be 69 weeks. What I want to show you is that Cyrus, it was said that he made a proclamation, a decree, and a commandment, and that this was the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. So I'm going to show you all three, how it's said there. First of all, he made a proclamation. We already read that in Ezra 1 and verse 1. He made a proclamation that the Jews would go back and rebuild the temple. He also made a decree there in Ezra 6 and verse 3. We read that here a little while ago, but I'll read it to you again. Ezra 6 and verse 3. It says, in the first year of Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God. So he made a proclamation, he made a decree, and he also made a commandment. Ezra 6 and verse 14. It says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So there it was called the commandment of Cyrus. So it was a proclamation, a decree, and a commandment. I'm going to show you that these are all similar, basically synonyms. A commandment is an authoritative order or injunction, a precept given by authority. A decree is an ordinance or edict set forth by the civil or other authority, an authoritative decision having the force of law. So a commandment is an order. A decree is an ordinance, which is an order. It is an edict. It is an authoritative decision. An ordinance is an authoritative direction, decree, or command. In more restricted sense, a public injunction or rule of narrower scope, less permanent nature or less constitutional nature than a law or statute, as a decree of a sovereign, an enactment of a municipal or other local body. And then we saw that a decree was an edict. An edict is that which is proclaimed, kind of like a proclamation. An edict is that which is proclaimed by authority. Remember, a commandment is an authoritative order. That which is proclaimed by authority as a rule of action, an order issued by a sovereign to his subjects, an ordinance or proclamation having the force of law. And a proclamation is the action of proclaiming, the official giving of public notice. And to proclaim is to make official announcement of something by word of mouth in some public place, also to cause this to be done by officers or agents. The object may be a noun or a clause. Okay, so I read all those definitions and bored you to death there just to show you that a proclamation and a decree and a commandment are all the same thing. So the Bible tells us in three different ways that Cyrus gave the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, because God said Cyrus would say, "Thou shalt be built to Jerusalem." He was the one that gave the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Next time, we're going to talk about how Jerusalem was restored and built, and we're going to finish off verse 25, and Lord willing, get into verse 26. So I hope that made sense. I tried to make it make sense. I tried to go slow enough and repeat things enough and say them different ways, and I hope you get it, because I think it is important, and I thank you for your kind and patient attention.